Welcome to the Nintendo Switch Heroes, Gamer Heroes Network. This is Zach. I'm here with Derek.
Hey, guys.
And John.
Yo.
We're here to talk about the Nintendo Switch and some other things, too. But obviously, that's a thing that we're all excited about at this point.
Of course.
So, it's a thing. It's out now. So
I think waiting and delaying our podcast was a great idea.
Yeah, so for those who catch us, we normally come out on Fridays, and we had a little bit of a technical glitch where Zach tried to mute himself, and then the entire internet crashed.
Yes.
I know why we can't have nice things. It is all my fault. Blame it on the new guy. But so we are going to do a little bit about the Switch. Next week's, or episode 9, will be our big Switch first impressions. But we're also going to split our time today with our 2017 gaming predictions.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're going to throw down and see at the end of the year if we're still around who did a better job.
We are either fortune tellers or just idiots. So,
and we're kind of cheating because we're late to the game.
We are a little late to the game.
But that's okay. It's still first quarter.
There's a lot left in 2017. So
it does mean that nobody can be like, I predict that the Switch will launch in 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, damn it. Now I've only got a sixth list. I need to add one now. You guys are the worst.
There is one thing, though, I do want to bring up, and that's we have our first iTunes review.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to thank Jesse Marr. And I'm just going to read real quick.
My boy, Blue.
What Jesse's five-star review says. It says, man, I remember playing SF, which I believe is Street Fighter, on Super Nintendo as a kid. I loved it. Glad to see others out there that love it just as much as me. And we do. We love Street Fighter, but we also love you, Jesse. Thank you for being our first iTunes reviewer. You're going to get some type of Steam game for free, so shoot us an email at contact@heroespodcasts.com. You can also find a contact form at heroespodcast.com in the About Us section if you have trouble with the email. And give us your email address, and we will talk a little bit, and we'll find a good game for you. So thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. iTunes reviews are really important because it's still the number one way people get to podcasts. And the more reviews you have, the easier it is for people to find us. So when we get to 10 reviews, we're going to give away another game. This one will be random to those first 10 people or so. So if you haven't reviewed us yet, we're going to do another contest. This game will be different. I'm not sure yet, but I'm thinking something digital for one of the consoles instead of PC.
Ooh, right. Stepping up the game.
We have PC gamers. We have console gamers. We have to try and spread the love out. There's a lot of different platforms. So, maybe give love to one of our big indie companies like Shovel Knight from Yacht Club or some of the Steam games from Image and Form. You know, we'll see. So give us a review. All right. So, guys, we have the Switch. The Switch is out. All three of us got one. We all managed to get ours yesterday.
Somehow, some way, Target pulled through. Just so you guys, if you didn't know, if you pre-order anything through Target, they ship on release date. Some miracle happened, and they shipped Thursday, even though it's a three-day shipping, and I got it Friday. So I'm very happy, and I have no idea why that happened, by the way.
And Zach and I, we got ours at GameStop, so we got ours.
Losers.
I have one that's coming from Target for a friend of mine, and his hasn't shown up yet. I feel kind of bad because he was hoping to pick it up today.
That's what I'm talking about. It's so bizarre.
But that's the thing. So I originally pre-ordered from Target, and then when I found out about the delay, I walked into my local GameStop, and they still had some. And so I was like, well, now I've got two. I'll see if I can find a buddy who wants it. I'm just going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. I hate the secondary market.
Yes.
It makes me really mad. If you buy something because you know it's going to be in short supply just to make a profit off it online, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah.
Did you see Craigslist yet?
I haven't looked.
Oh, guys, $600. $600. Somebody's trying to sell one for $600.
That's awesome. I will say that's not as bad as the Wii. I remember the Wiis were going for $3,000. I don't know if anybody ever paid that much for a Wii. If you did, let us know.
I'd like to talk to you.
I want to have you on the show and talk to you about this.
They're probably too embarrassed to admit the fact they did that all these years later.
They're just as great as the Cash Me Outside girl.
Yes. I can't believe that made it on the show.
That's some Ferengi level bullshit.
So okay, so we've got some Switches here. This one's actually mine with the neon Joy-Cons. The gray black ones here are John's. You guys both got the the regular gray ones.
Yeah.
Any particular reason you didn't go with the neon?
No, I didn't even really think about it. Like, I just walked into the GameStop. They're like, which one do you want? I'm like, ah, just the gray.
Whatever you have.
Yeah, well, yeah. So what do you have?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they were sold out of the neon at that point. Those did go pretty fast on Amazon and other places. Yeah. I don't remember the reason. I was just like, I just want the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
Don't bother me with your questions.
I mean, I was on the same thing as Zach, but now that I have it, I do like the neon. It's very good. It's very great for a second set, but I really like the sleek, clean design of the gray. I think the satin finish makes it just look that much nicer. So
yeah.
I do. It has grown on me.
So I will say, now that you brought up the finish, don't put stickers on your Joy-Cons or on the Switch tablet. I'm drawing a blank on the company name, but one of the big decal makers for consoles and controllers and stuff has basically said that they're not going to put anything out now for the Switch because the adhesive doesn't work well with the unique finish of the Joy-Cons and the Switch tablet. Because for those who haven't touched one yet, it's not like normal plastic.
No.
You know, it's not like a PS4 controller or an Xbox One controller. So for now, that's what you get is what it looks like. Just for you, you know, for those who are curious.
Or we could be like Zach and get an awesome case and rub it in all of our faces.
This case is really sweet. So we're actually recording video of this one for the first time because we happen to all be together. Normally we record in different places.
Yes.
So if you're watching this on YouTube, hi, and we are Gamer Heroes, and this is episode 8.
Now you know how sexy we look. You can put voices to our faces.
But yeah, Zach got this really cool Breath of the Wild case from GameStop, you said?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is, yeah.
So, you know, and I guess there's some reports of if you undock and redock your Switch a lot, you might scratch up the glass a little bit. So a screen protector is something that I think we're all going to go out and get.
Yes.
I think for like any screen, anything you can touch that you're going to be taking mobily, you should probably have a protector regardless.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I don't have one on my phone. I have a Galaxy S7 and I just, with the Gorilla Glass, I never really
had
that issue, but the Switch is more,
prone to it.
Yeah.
If you're going to be, like you said, if you're going to be sliding it in and out of that, which I have to say, that is the cleanest transition between putting it in there.
Oh, yeah.
So there's times where I'm questioning myself, did I even make it in the...
This shouldn't be this easy.
Exactly.
What's going on here?
So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that the Switch does that's very satisfying, and I know it worked. Like, every button clicks. Mm. Everything you press clicks. It vibrates when you, and your screen flashes when you put the Joy-Cons back on the screen. But the dock was the one I was like, where's this click? What's happening? And I'm sitting here and I keep putting it in and out. And, it's just that seamless, by the way.
It is. It is really nice. And I like that it functions in much the way the Xbox One does, where when you turn it on, it turns on my TV and it goes to the right input. And,
that is nice.
You know, that's pretty sweet.
That is nice.
My TV, I have a Samsung TV and you can't go to an input that doesn't currently have a signal. It doesn't let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Switch is on my HDMI 3. I can't go to it when the Switch is off.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it knows to turn on when it's connected is a plus for me. So.
Definitely. Backing up a little bit, a brief note, if you're shopping for cases, the Zelda Breath of the Wild case, on top of just, you know, being a cool Zelda case, it's kind of a hard material that keeps things safe, which, I mean, when you hold the Switch in your hands, like, it's like holding a newborn child. Like, am I going to break this?
It's so true.
That's why there's the 1-2 Switch game where you have to rock the baby to sleep.
You do. It is your baby. Wow. So I feel like my console is safe in there. Also, there's a pouch for you to put the Joy-Con, what do you call those?
The grips.
The grips.
Yeah.
There is, it's shaped in such a way that everything just fits in there perfectly. And it comes with, I'll show you if you're looking at the video.
Yes. Oh, you have it there? Okay.
Yeah. So if you're watching the video, it comes with this, two of these little things that have, you can open them up and there's spots in each one for 4 different games. So you can hold up to 8 games in your Switch. And on top of that, in these, so I can get this open.
Oh, it even has a little...
Mini cases within the case that you can hold micro USB chips in.
SD.
Micro SD cards. And so if you're... Because there's a lot of talk about, like, the storage space being an issue. And there's, you know, you can buy multiple SD cards and then switch it out depending on what game you want to play. And that, it looks like that's definitely an option that they were considering when they designed this. So, very well-designed case. There's a lot of good cases out there, but... This one is
for 20
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah, it's 20 bucks. It was 20, 25 bucks, something like that at GameStop. Yeah, they sold out pretty quick. Yeah,
I don't think mine had any of those when I went to pick up mine.
I didn't even think about a case until like I get there and they're like, "Well, do you want a case?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna be taking these places. Like yeah. I probably should get a case." And that one was reasonable. And I didn't know anything about it. They just said, "Yeah, Zelda Breath of the Wild blue case." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna need a case." I didn't realize all of the detail that was gonna go into that. So I'm
that's the nicest surprised. One I've seen so far. Yeah,
very
so.
Pleased with it.
That's awesome. So what have you guys really had a chance to play any of it yet?
Not much. I mean, I played some of the 1-2 Switch obviously over here last night.
Yep.
And that was fun. The 1-2 Switch, it's like Nintendo is forcing intimacy on you because they want you to look in the eyes of the people you're playing with.
Really? And not look at the screen.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, there's really not much to see on the screen anyways. There's a little demonstration video, but then like the game itself, it's all based on reaction time or stillness and movement. Yeah, they want you to like look at the person in the eyes. So
how does it know that you're not looking at that person in the eyes?
It doesn't fail know. Safe?
It depends on what you're playing.
It's
though.
True.
Like, there's the shaving game.
Yeah.
Where what it is you're both supposed to.
Oh, that's a game. I just do that every day.
I sometimes do. The idea is you use the Joy-Con to pretend shave your face,
right.
And the idea is who can shave 100% of their face the fastest. Is the joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is since you're looking at each other and not the screen, you can't see if you've missed a spot.
Right,
is the idea.
Gotcha.
And if you move your head, then it still thinks that your head is here, is like facing the other person. And
right.
So if you move your head and face a different direction, it doesn't know that you've
Register
done that.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of keep still in that sense.
Your practice round, Rachel did better at shaving than you because you were moving,
moving
your head around.
A lot of people do
that. That's,
yeah.
I mean, if you're just shaving in real life.
I do that.
Exactly. that makes no difference. But in this game, obviously, it's based on where
the remote Joy-Con is.
Like, holds
not
up.
Not the Wii remote. I have to work on that.
Yeah.
It's
going to be an adjustment
Joy-Con,
for you.
It is. Since I still use those.
right.
Yeah, and then like there's the gunslinger game, where you're basically having like a standoff, and you have to have like it uses all the motion controls and stuff to know that the Joy-Con is pointed down, and it actually knows like where it was pointed when you fire, so it'll actually show you the angles and see who
that's,
had like
mm-hmm. accuracy,
the better shot.
That's
yeah.
actually really cool.
Yeah.
But again, that's reaction time, so it's who got it off faster. And
in the next Star Wars Special Edition, they're going to actually have Joy-Cons in Han and Greedo's hands, so we can finally settle who shot first.
No, that's the George Lucas remastered.
Yes.
No, it's not. Han didn't shoot first. He shot.
He's the only one who shot.
He's the only one who
Greedo
shot.
Greedo didn't get a shot off. Yeah.
So he shot. Han shot.
Yeah. We're going to get really fired up here in just a second. On a tangent.
Oh, no. But yeah, basically, a lot of the games are based on reaction time. There's a phone game where it rings and who can answer it the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sword fighting game.
There's a very provocative milking game.
Mm.
So, you know.
Some
like
yeah, some people are basically saying yeah. it's like a sex simulator. We didn't play that one last night.
We did not.
So, guys, let me ask you this. I wasn't here for that. Overall, total, do you think this is worth $50? And is it gimmicky? Does it replace Wii Sports, which was still in my top 10?
It's supposed to replace Wii Sports.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now look, I'm the biggest Nintendo fanboy I think you're ever gonna meet. I'm not getting it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just don't quite get it. I think it's Nintendo's way of showing you how to use the console and what it can do
for $50.
But it's $50.
Right. Yeah.
And so if it came bundled like Wii Sports, I think that
I'd like
it would it'd be
right.
fine because it'd
yeah.
be this free thing that helps you understand everything the console can do.
Right.
But it's not. It's $50, and when Breath of the Wild is $60 and Fast RMX is $20.
By the way, I have to say that best purchase ever. That was on my maybe list. Love it.
We're gonna talk about that. So Binding of Isaac is $40. Street Fighter is $40. All of those games seem like much better deals.
Yeah, because you're right. The 1-2 Switch, to answer your question, it is gimmicky as fuck.
Yeah,
it is.
It was on my maybe list.
Yeah.
And now hearing what you're saying,
definitely. I mean, don't don't waste your
50 bucks is just if it was 20.
If it was 10, 20, yeah, 20, maybe, totally worth it.
Totally do it.
Like, yeah. I'm not gonna return it. Like, I'm not pissed about it.
I mean, returning games is difficult.
It is difficult. So, like, I'm not super upset about it. Like, if I would have known and held off, like, I probably wouldn't have got it. But like, now that I've got it, like, I mean, I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. The 2-year-old,
I'm sure they'll
won't
love
care.
It.
But like, my 6-year-old will have a good time. Like, we'll play the when they come over tonight. We'll probably play the. Like the gunslinger game and a few of the other ones, and I think
the Harry Potter wand game,
right? Like, I think she will really enjoy that.
Yeah,
but so it'll be fun to do with my kids. But
they're party games. Wii Sports was multiplayer. I played Wii Sports a lot on my own too. I boxed and I bowled.
Well,
and
it
stuff.
Had a ranking system. It did. I loved it.
The bowling was huge. Like, yeah,
loved it.
You couldn't go anywhere that had a Wii for like 3 years and not end up playing bowling at some point. Like, it was just a thing that the entire world was doing.
It was a great example of why you don't need amazing graphics for a good game.
Mm-hmm.
1-2 Switch, again, graphics really don't have much to do with it because you're supposed to look at each other.
Right.
The TV is only to show you what to do and show you what the results are.
Right. Well, and the TV, like the graphics on the TV are literally just like filmed footage of like people
on green screen.
On green screen. So like they add a little bit to it, but it's just actual actors. Like, they paid actors. They went to a studio for what I can't imagine took longer than an afternoon, and filmed people like sitting in chairs.
Some high budget stuff there.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I do appreciate that they have the demonstration videos because
yes, absolutely.
I mean, these are gameplay styles I've never been.
Oh, right.
It's new to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, it's new to everybody, and also like as people like of our age range that have grown up playing video games, like this is vastly different than anything else we've ever experienced.
So here's something I noticed, just because I've worked in marketing at my company before, and I noticed in all the games, in 1-2 Switch, in the commercials, there's never been an actual direct marketing link to children. Everybody, it's an adult on the go, in a plane, in a car.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
In a 1-2 Switch, the actors are all adults.
What does
that say to the market and the intended market?
Well, that's a really interesting point. You know, historically, Nintendo has been incredibly kid-friendly. The new console is kid-friendly.
Uh-huh.
At least, you know, the games are. But you're right. They seem to be putting this towards people who are young adults.
Right.
Which is funny because it's obviously doesn't resonate with us as an adult.
Not 1-2 Switch.
No.
Zelda clearly does.
For sure.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
RMX does. I think 1-2 Switch may be Nintendo's quirkiness showing through a little too much.
Whimsical.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look back at the Switch reveal presentation in January, that was as Nintendo as you get for a presentation.
Oh, no, we had them coming out of stage going, and making poses and doing weird stuff.
They were doing crazy
it.
Things.
It's,
you know?
So, it's so Japan of them. Like, I love it, though.
When they did, you know, was it Miyamoto who did the little HD Rumble video, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just nobody else is ever going to do a presentation like that. That is a Nintendo presentation. And I think 1-2 Switch is the game you get when Nintendo doesn't use any original IP and just makes stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what you get. And good or bad, I mean, I think people will get it and play it because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a group it could be fun. I think in the right context it could be a lot of fun. I think
with a lot of drinks.
Yeah.
Either a lot of drinks or people who don't, you know, mind looking silly.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely, you're going to look silly. This is not like DDR. This is,
no.
You're milking a cow. And it's
faster than the other person. You know, is that what I got from it?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some of that. And, you know, there's the dice game is a little silly because it's almost like, there's a card, bullshit. It's like the card game bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you're trying to convince people
what
to do.
Which is an adult game. Again.
That's an adult game. Yeah. So what this is, it's called Sneaky Dice. And what happens is you roll your dice with the Joy-Con, and then when you flip your Joy-Cons over, you get a vibration that counts the number that your opponent got on their roll.
Interesting.
And what you're supposed to do is, depending on the roll, convince the person to re-roll. So you want the higher roll. So then in the example they show, you know, I think the woman gets like, the guy gets a 12 and the woman gets like a 7 or something. And so she has to convince the guy who she knows rolled a 12 that he has like a really low roll, you know,
right.
And he should re-roll. Because with a 12, anything he rolls can't be worse.
So how many rolls do you get before it's the final roll?
We didn't
and then
play
you
it.
Okay, I got you.
So I don't know. I think probably just the one. But
I guess my point was to ask, is Nintendo trying to be a little more serious this time around? And that's why all their marketing is towards young adults.
I wouldn't use the word serious,
right?
But it kind of is though. We're putting subliminal messages of adults play this, adults should use this, adults need this. These are adult games. It's like bullshit. Yeah.
My theory is they are marketing towards those of us who grew up playing Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64. They're marketing towards us because we're the ones who now have jobs and careers and can afford to buy this.
Money.
And I feel like historically when it comes to gaming and gaming consoles, the demographics that don't typically play video games look to people like us, people who play games to decide like, oh, well, you know, I have this friend who buys all these consoles because they're a first adopter of this sort of technology. And I played it at their house, and so now I feel comfortable buying this for myself when I wouldn't normally buy it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're counting on us to be the ones who charge ahead and get this stuff and then make it more appealing to everyone else.
So is this Nintendo's Toy Story 3?
Oh, God.
You know?
Could be.
I mean, yeah. It kind of feels
so
like
so far
it.
It's yeah. that way. Yeah, it so is, far yeah. it seems that way.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the pinnacle evolution of what Nintendo has tried to do with a console for over 30 years.
Right. I just hope we don't all end up in a dumpster fire at the end.
I don't think so. I mean, look.
It's got a promising future.
No, it does.
The Wii U has gotten a lot of crap over its relatively... say it's a relatively short life. It got a 5-year run, which is actually longer than some Nintendo consoles.
Right. But I feel like the golden standard for console runs is like the PlayStation 2, which I don't know.
That's a 10 years.
10 years.
That's an anomaly.
Yeah.
The PS2 is unique.
It is.
It was the only thing we had at the time, and then Xbox came out, but it still didn't hinder it because the PlayStation already established.
Like, well, and so Nintendo went from the 64 to the GameCube, and the PlayStation 2 was just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still here.
Well, I'm the best.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Sony made it cheaper over time, and so it got to the point where it was like, it was like $60 to pick up a PS2.
Yeah.
With one of the largest game libraries that ever exists.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was very little reason not to pick up a PS2.
Mm-hmm.
I think the PS2 is definitely an anomaly.
Yeah.
But if you look at just Nintendo, and it's hard to compare Nintendo to Sony and Microsoft, in my opinion. But, you know, the Wii U had a longer run than the 64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and more games.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that there's no way the Switch will end up worse off than the Wii U.
Right.
And I think that its sales, I mean, they're expecting 2 million in sales just in March, which would, you know, be good. They're, I mean, it sold out everywhere.
I was going to say, yeah. So, you can't even get your hands on it if you didn't pre-order it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You know, so, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. They have a nice strategy of a new indie title every week.
Right.
You know, we've got Mario Kart coming out, then 2 months later is Splatoon, and then 2 months later is Skyrim, and then, mm-hmm. you know, 2 months later is Mario. So they've got this nice kind of pattern of game releases, so that way by the time it's Christmas, everybody is gonna...
should have or want one.
Yes.
At that point.
You know, so, and there might be a hiccup in there. It's going to have to do with one of my predictions, so I'm not going to...
Yeah, I know.
So before we take up too much time on Switch stuff, because we do have to get to the predictions, let's talk for a couple minutes about Fast RMX.
Yes!
Because we'll talk all about Zelda Breath of the Wild. Everybody's talking about Breath of the Wild. It's beautiful, but let's talk about Fast RMX.
A side game that you can download right now you can purchase it for, what is it, 50, is it,
it's $20.
No, but you can purchase the actual, or is it only a download?
It's only download.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. It's $20.
Yeah.
Worth every penny. I played it for about 2.5 hours yesterday. The maps are beautiful. The graphics are off the charts. You may think it's like, oh, it's a simple, just a racing game on pods. No, there is a lot more strategy to it. There are little ramp-ups that you can pass by, and they're color-coded. So you have to change your phases, what they call it, to hit those ramps so you can stay fast. If you don't hit the ramps with the right color, what happens?
It slows you down. Yeah, it has like an electrical feedback.
Right. You're jumping, and you got to guide your jumps or you'll fall off the track. There's a track that I'm doing right now. It's a tube. And you're going 360 around.
Oh, that's
cool.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
That'd be cool.
It is insane and hard.
It sounds like from what I've seen and from what you guys have said, I haven't played it yet. That sounds like after we finish this podcast.
Oh, we're going to go play.
We're going to go play, and then I'm probably going to buy it.
Oh, yes.
But it sounds like it's very reminiscent of F-Zero, if any of you guys played F-Zero.
This is what F-Zero should be in 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because the last F-Zero game that I can remember, I think, was the GameCube.
It was, and that was such a good game. It was hard. I never beat it.
Great game.
It's such a great game.
Really, really good. But that was, you know, early 2000s.
Yeah,
It's been over a decade. And these guys have put together the most beautiful HD version of what you would think that game should look like. And yeah, these new additions of, there's these little gems that you pick up that give you boost ability, the phases, the way the tracks work. You can unlock all these different cars that have different stats. You unlock different different tracks and circuits go. There's all these different modes of the game. So I got first place in the first circuit on the easiest difficulty, and that put me at 3% completion.
Right.
So there's a lot of content outside of the online play and the local play.
Yeah.
And for $20, I mean, this is the
really
best value for a $20 game that I can remember for a home console like this.
And launch day. And a launch day title.
In a launch day title. I mean, when you think about quality of graphics and things like that, there's a few indie games. This is an indie game. Some other indie games that might rival that from a story perspective, like SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist.
Right. But when it comes to a racing game, I'm not expecting riveting story.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you can find me another racing game that was $20 at launch, not later in a bargain bin, $20 at launch, that's better than this, I need you to tell me what it is because I want to go check that out.
Yeah. For not to mention, the graphics are amazing, but the size of it, what was it? Megabytes? Not even a gig.
900 megabytes.
Not even a gigabyte.
So everyone's screaming about the 32 gig hard drive. And here's the thing.
It's more like 25 after.
25, 26. Go get yourself an SD card. They're not that expensive. But that aside for a minute, most of these games you can buy physical. Most, not all. Most of them you can, and you don't have to install them. Mm-hmm. So Zelda, you don't install. 1-2 Switch, you don't install, right? Mario Kart, that type of thing. So if you stick to only downloading the titles that are digital only,
mm-hmm.
They do range in size. The Dragon Quest trilogy is actually larger than the Switch hard drive. So that's an outlier. But Fast RMX is less than a gig, which is super freaking impressive, guys. Like, hats off to the developers to be able to pull that shit off and have it look so beautiful.
And fun. And it's a fun game. Yeah. It's an actual fun game. I'm excited. I haven't had fun with a racer since Mario Kart, and a serious one, because Mario Kart, it's whimsical, so it's so fun because you got the weapons and all that stuff, but this is the first time in a while that I've played a more serious type racing game, and it's actually fun, and
I'm really happy. If other indie titles put up this level of quality at that type of price point,
mm-hmm.
You're going to see me playing the Switch more and more compared to my other platforms.
Oh, right.
You know, so that's pretty awesome. Anything else you guys want to touch on before we just talk about our predictions?
Just two things I really, really like. And I said this to these guys when I walked in the door. The one thing I really, really like about the Switch, as far as interface goes, is it asks you what user before you enter the eShop, before you enter any game. So if you have multiple people to play this game, or you have another account you want to play on, and that's at a different part in the game, different level,
mm-hmm.
you can just easily switch into that.
said the thing.
That's why they call it that.
I love it, because like, if you have a credit card, like, I don't know if we all do this, but I have a credit card on multiple, different credit cards on multiple accounts that I have more money on. If you want to do that and go into the eShop with the more money, you can do that easily. It's ask. There's no, I have to go through this and add 4 cards and select cards when I check out. No, it's as easy as picking that user and going into it. Also, the snapshots, as easy as it can ever be.
The screenshot.
One button doesn't even interrupt your gameplay. On top of that, you can go back later, even mid-game, just leave, go back into your albums, edit that, make it a meme, whatever you want to do, and you can instantly post it to Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, I do love that you can take screenshots literally from everywhere, from loading screens,
so nice.
Cinematics, menus. Well,
and what makes that so great, it's a really brilliant strategy on Nintendo's part, because if everyone's playing these games and then screenshotting it and throwing that up on social media, that's free advertising.
Yeah.
Like they're getting free advertising. It was probably a relatively cheap feature to implement on their part, and it's going to pay them back.
It actually hashtag is Nintendo Switch automatically.
Really?
Yeah,
that's smart.
It actually hashtags Nintendo.
I think the
Switch.
PS4 does some hashtag. I can't remember
it
which
does.
One it is.
It says like PS4 but, share or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But that's just it's a missed opportunity if you don't do that.
Yeah.
But I made a meme of me in 10th place and said winning because I thought it was funny.
There you go. Now look, Switch is obviously not the first console to have this technology.
No.
The PS4 does it better
but
than the Xbox.
Xbox One does it, but it's so cumbersome. Like
but
I
the
forget
question
it
is,
exists.
Who uses it the most efficiently? And I think Switch does
right now. Yeah.
Yeah,
one button, I can do that.
Yeah,
it's a little more seamless. It's a little more intuitive.
It's a little complicated to record and send things through the PlayStation.
It is. It is. And
separate
the Xbox
menus.
Is the same way.
Oh, yeah.
The Xbox, I think, is more cumbersome than the PS4, to be totally honest. Because the PS4 has a dedicated button, like the Switch.
Right.
The Xbox
right.
doesn't have that.
That's
no.
true.
Now that I have the Kinect, and so there's some voice commands you can do. Back when it first launched, I did a lot of the Xbox record that. playing Forza and making
the
people spin out
gimmicky
stuff. I did that a lot when the Xbox first came out. And then,
but the novelty's worn off, and it's
right.
too cumbersome, and it's not worth it. Whereas with something like this, like a year from now, like I might still be taking screenshots. And
well, it's a button away. Like,
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
going through menus. It's literally one button. So.
And it's such a cool thing because there have been plenty of times when you're playing a game and you're like, gosh, like I want to like save this moment to remember later.
I can't wait till multiplayer online. I'm going to be like bragging
oh,
about
yeah.
look at these leaderboards.
Right, right.
Look at these stats. I can't wait.
Can you crouch in Splatoon? Like, is there going to be like Splatoon teabagging? Is that going to be a thing?
I'm going to say no.
I mean, one was hope.
We'll find a way.
A family friendly, yeah. Well,
I never played the first one, but I will be picking up the sequel for Switch.
Yeah, there's
so.
A demo coming out that I want to try out.
Yeah,
a
couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. We'll have to check that out.
We'll check it out and maybe
because it has the local 8-player Switch link up.
Yeah.
That Fast RMX also supports, I think, 4. I don't think it supports 8.
Four.
I have
yeah.
to double check.
We can bring back LAN parties.
The split screen's pretty
slick,
yeah. too.
It's a WAN party.
Yeah.
You know? so there's no cables. But yeah, we all bring our Switches over and we can play games together,
yeah.
which is just really exciting. I miss that. Playing Halo LAN parties back in the day,
yes,
where people would physically bring TVs over to my house and other Xboxes, and you have
good
16
times.
People. Like, I miss that so
yeah.
much.
We talked about that in the last podcast. How there's kind of been a movement away from like actual
local co-op,
and how like we're getting back to that. And I think that's a really important piece of gaming. At
this
least
is the
for
one.
Our generation.
Like, this is the one to do it. I think this has made it as easy as it can get. Really,
yeah,
I can play. I mean, my wife just played split screen on our little Nintendo Switch on the couch. But either way, it was that simple. We're laying here. We're playing split screen together, a Fast RMX, with these little controllers while it's sitting in my lap. Like,
yeah,
come on. That's
awesome.
The easiest thing you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch, man. Let's
yeah, let's
get to
yeah. switch topics.
Let's get to what we're
can
here
we get that
for.
Click?
Click.
Yeah, so we're doing 2017 predictions. Now, I know a lot of people do this usually at the end of the previous year or right at the beginning of the new year. I wanted us to wait a little bit for a couple reasons. One, I wanted us to get some footing on what this podcast is, make sure that our hosts were good to go. And also, I wanted to get a couple things out of the way that were just really obvious, like Horizon Zero Dawn coming out,
right.
the Switch releasing, and kind of get past any predictions about those specific things, because... Yeah, those were pretty set in stone, and I wanted us to focus on some other fun stuff. So we'll come back around in early January if we're still around for this and see how we did. Who wants to go first? We're each supposed to have 7. I know John's got like 80, but we're gonna stick with 7 unless you've got something really exciting. But
I'll start.
You're gonna start us off
really easy. So it's already been kind of somewhat announced, but I'm taking it a little step further. And calling the details of it. So Call of Duty, very
uh-huh.
popular franchise. I have lost faith in it. I have stopped playing it for like 4 games now, right? I am predicting that the new one that's going to be coming out in November will be World War II, between the times of World War II, and then they're going to create an alternate history of World War III.
Interesting.
But they're going back to that 1950s style. And
which
I think
great. I love that.
Well, because of the success of Battlefield 1,
mm-hmm.
but they went even further. They went back to World War 1, which
did,
no
yeah.
one has ever touched.
Yeah.
So now I think Call of Duty, because one of my favorite Call of Duties of all time, I know everyone will argue Modern Warfare, which I did like it. However, I really liked Call of Duty. Oh, my God. I can't. Why am I drawing a blank? When Nazi Zombies was first ever introduced.
Is it 4?
World at War. God, oh, I couldn't World think of War. Of it.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm not a big Call of Duty guy. Yeah, me so
that was the best gameplay. It was World War II. They had the best guns, the most riveting multiplayer, and of course they changed the franchise altogether with Nazi zombies. That was the first time that ever came out. So I'm calling it now. They're going to do World War II. They're going to do an alternate history into World War III.
In the same game?
Yeah, it's going to start in World War II, and then they're going to create the story mode. The campaign is going to create a World War III.
Wow. Yeah. This is an incredibly specific prediction. Yeah. So if this comes true, remember, you heard it here first.
Probably. I assume
you got it. All that's been released is that they're going back. They haven't said what, when, where. They just say that they're going to go back to it eventually. Sure. So that's what I'm predicting, and that's specific.
All right. That's a good one. I like that one. Thank
you. That's really intense, yeah.
Okay, Zach, why don't you give us your first one?
My first one, nothing earth-shattering. I think that the Switch is going to be, it's kind of a two-part thing. I think the Switch is going to be the best-selling console since the Wii.
Oh, you suck.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. I've got like eight.
You've got too many. I also think it's going to be, if not the best-selling Christmas item, I think it's going to be up there. It's going to be one of the go-to Christmas gift items this year.
So do you think it'll outsell the Xbox and the PlayStation?
Yeah.
For Christmas,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, as far as consoles go, yeah. This is newer, more people have the Xbox. I think that Sony and Microsoft are going to be smart to try and drop their prices to try and compete with the Switch.
Can they get any cheaper? But, I mean, they're already sitting at $299.
Right. They will when they release their new ones.
Yeah.
They're going to have to drop the price.
They will. So I think they're going to try, but I think the Switch is going to win out because I think it's going to have more appeal for the entire family.
Okay. So no, that's very interesting. I'll be curious to see how much is left for sales by the holiday season since the Switch is out now. They're going to have basically two full quarters, Q2 and Q3, before you get to the holiday season.
Exactly. They're going to have time to iron out the kinks. They're going to have time to continue to market. There's going to be screenshots all over social media.
They've already started.
Yeah, it's already started.
It's too easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one, man.
Very nice. So then, with that in mind, I'm going to follow kind of a similar thread there. I think that Microsoft's Project Scorpio, whatever it ends up being called, will launch for the holiday 2017. It will. And that it will be the first console to support native 4K video game play.
That would be huge. That would be a game changer.
And yeah. I want to differentiate this for anybody who's saying, well, the PS4 Pro. But it is 4K video.
Right.
You can play 4K movies like the Xbox One S. You can pop in a 4K Blu-ray disc and watch a 4K movie. But you cannot. There are no 4K gameplay.
Exactly.
And yeah. I think the Scorpio will be the first one to do it because it's not the first refresh from the Xbox One. And it's got a completely different code name for it. And there's some other stuff that they're trying to push as far as HDR and some other things that I think we're going to see in there. And I think that 4K gameplay will be the big thing that people will come back to Xbox for. Because PlayStation has kind of been kicking their ass. Yeah. So,
I mean, like 2 million units.
Xbox kind of, I mean, they shot themselves in the foot with the way they marketed the Xbox One.
Early on, for sure.
Early on. Yeah. They lost a lot of consumer faith. So
PlayStation is also has VR now. And I think VR, for some people, as much as we discussed last episode, stay tuned and listen to it again. basically, it's a little gimmicky still, but yeah, please review it. Get your games. Still a little gimmicky, but I think that marketing-wise, they did it right. It's a more powerful machine. Well,
there's just so much overhead with Windows. Because the Xbox One is an entertainment machine.
Yes, it is.
The PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch are gaming machines.
Yes.
The Xbox One is an entertainment machine that plays video games.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I have that, so I play it. You know, I'm going through the Gears of War games right now.
Big question is, do you think Project Scorpio will close the PS gap, the PlayStation gap? Or maybe outsell for the Christmas season.
I expect the Scorpio, assuming that my prediction is correct and it does launch for the holiday. I expect it to outsell the PS4 Pro,
right?
In the last quarter and first quarter of
But will that deter people from buying just the standard? They're like, I don't need 4K. I don't have a 4K TV, even though 4K TVs have come down a lot in price.
I think it's a lot of it's going to be the price difference, right? Because I think when the Scorpio comes out, the regular Xbox One is going to be gone by then. You'll just have the S,
right?
Because, I mean, the regular Xbox One's kind of hard to find now.
It's just so funny. They had to release an Xbox One, an Xbox S, and a Scorpio to even get to PlayStation's level. They've only released two machines.
Well, but the PS4 Pro doesn't do what I'm saying the Scorpio will do.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah, so I'm actually saying that the...
I'm just saying it took three machines to get that right.
I mean, see, here's why I don't really agree with that, though, because the place... Right now, there's two Xboxes and there's two PlayStations. And they're kind of equals as far as what they're supposed to do. Now, you know...
We can
your personal experiences are different.
Specifications all day.
The PS4 Pro and the Xbox One S both play 4K movies. You know, that's the big change for them. I think the Scorpio will bring us 4K gaming, and then Sony will have to answer that. I think is what you're going to see is Sony's going to have to come out and do their PS4 Pro 2 or something.
You know, I don't want to ruin one of yours because I got a little peek at yours, but PlayStation just might go some other route and do something
else.
I don't want to ruin your prediction.
I have a Sony prediction. So.
But yeah.
But let's move on to your next one. What's your second prediction, John?
Okay, so now that he took one and you took one, another one was released here recently. This is not it, but I'm just going to say I did predict this. I said that the Oculus Rift will drop their price to $299 before the holiday season. They've already announced that they're going to drop their price. Not quite that low.
No, it's $499?
It's $599 right now.
Right, but it's dropping.
$200 off.
Oh, so $399.
Right.
Okay.
So I was close, but not quite there.
$200 is a good chunk of change.
I would totally do it. If it got down to $299, I would totally buy it. But that was one that's already been debunked. Yeah. My next one was that, and I'm very sad to say it and hear it, even think it, Oblivion for the Switch will not be released this year. It'll be delayed. Skyrim, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Skyrim. Sorry. I like Oblivion a lot, so I kind of...
I prefer Oblivion personally,
like,
but... Yeah.
It's the same universe.
Yes.
Basically, Skyrim will not be released this year. It'll be delayed till 2018.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I just have a feeling that Bethesda is... still working on the mechanics, and I mean, although they have confidence and they've shown footage, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be released to us.
Yeah, it may take time because it's a big game.
It is a big game. Yeah,
and I don't know. Ports always make me a little nervous because they don't always work out the way they're intended.
We don't know that it's a port,
so you're thinking it might be a new game.
So I'm actually here. We're going to change
the
order.
That actually supplies what I'm saying even more.
So I have a prediction about Skyrim. Not that it's going to be delayed. I don't think it's going to be delayed out of 2017.
Well, now you guys can hold us to it. We have a little grudge match. Right.
I do think it'll hit in 2017. When in 2017, I think is still up for debate. But
Christmas.
I think that's likely.
That's the target. Yeah. That's got to be. But then you're going up against Mario, and you're never going to stand a chance against Mario.
I am excited about the new Mario.
So maybe releasing it in like October is a better idea.
I don't think that Skyrim is a direct port. I don't think that it's the same edition of the game that you can buy today. I think it is going to be a unique version of Skyrim for the Switch that will have slightly different content.
Okay. That would be smart.
That would be cool.
That's going to be my big prediction, is that Skyrim for Switch is a different version of Skyrim. Mm.
So, question for both of you guys. Skyrim is a game that has a lot of hype. People were obsessed with it when it came out. People are still playing. People love it. I'm a fan of Bethesda. I'm a fan of that gameplay style. But Skyrim is one of those games that I never got around to. So is it worth picking up, like, they've got the version that comes with all the DLC for Xbox One? Like, is it worth going out and getting that?
At this point. I'm
going
to wait for the Switch. I bought Skyrim, unfortunately. My mistake. I bought it for the 360.
Wait, you bought a game and then didn't play it?
No, I played it. Yeah, right. I played it. I played Skyrim, but I played it for the 360. I never finished it because... I think that it was shit on the 360.
Yeah.
It was too much
on the
360. I think it was way too much for the 360.
Elder Scrolls Online is a million times better.
And I don't have time for MMOs, so...
Yeah. But, me either anymore.
I play Star Trek Online like two or three times a year.
Yeah.
I feel that that was unfortunately one of those games like GTA 5 and some others that were those bridge games between the last generation and this generation.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I didn't get through it because it was too laggy for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get it. I think I'm going to get it for the Switch.
Sure.
Because I love Oblivion. Oblivion is one of my favorite games ever. PC. Right. I love it. And I actually just bought the full edition on Steam recently because it was like $10. And it's like cheap.
Yeah.
And it has every expansion. Yeah, and I didn't have all of those.
Do that if you're going to do that. Like, right. Do it on Steam because you're never going to be out. What's it cost for Xbox?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I think it's down to 40 now.
That's 40, still too much in my opinion.
But that, yeah. You know.
It's old. Think about it. When it did
is
that come
old.
Out?
Yeah. It is old.
Well, that's why I think.
6 years ago? Like,
what, yeah. Skyrim?
Yeah.
No.
Skyrim is pretty old.
Or Oblivion.
Skyrim.
Oblivion's even older.
Yeah. Skyrim is
at least
three?
Six old.
No.
At least six.
I feel like if it's 360.
Look up the release date for Skyrim.
We're going to Google
it. PS4 has been out for like 3 years now.
I'm going to GTS.
But it was a
Google that shit.
Right.
For those of you.
It was a bridge game. So it was out for PS4.
Check the facts.
Well,
put it in the comments.
That's what we're. Well, Zach's looking it up right now, so we'll have it for you in a minute. But
agree in the comments.
Agree.
November 11th, 2011.
Boom.
11.
6 years exactly. I called it.
It has been a hot minute since that game.
I told you.
I guess it was out on the 360 longer. Than
I was still playing World of Warcraft back in those days.
That's a long time.
I guess that makes sense why I had it for 360 and not the Xbox.
So now think about that. So. $40 for a title that came out 6 years ago. The graphics are dated at this point.
Well, but the edition that you got on the Xbox One and the PS4 is not the same version of the game.
Right.
I get that, but remember how we talk about me doing my Half-Life 2 and ramping it up? Like, you can only go so far with it.
I mean, from a graphic perspective, yes, but you know, I also am the kind of guy who the graphics I appreciate, but they don't make the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if the game is a good game, then that's what makes it feel like it's worth $40 or $60.
Right.
Like Breath of the Wild, my hour and a half in
it's
that I
everything.
Am is so
it's
incredible
everything.
Across the board.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I feel like that's absolutely a $60 title.
Yeah.
You know, Fast RMX, I feel like is undervaluing itself. I'm going to take advantage
I'll
of
take
that.
Take it.
But,
yeah. $20. I mean, you can't beat it.
So, you know, but let's move on. Zach, what's your second prediction?
My second prediction, and this is really just wishful thinking on my part.
so this is your over the.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my.
By the way, we're doing like realistic and then we're doing just fucking dreams.
Yeah. I've got a couple dreams on here. I've also just, I kind of just go off the rails for some of these. I'm hoping that 2017 is finally going to be the year. That Valve announces Half-Life 3.
I knew he was going to say that.
Do any Valve employees? Does Gabe Newell listen to this podcast?
Oh,
yeah.
I mean,
please.
I want it too, man.
It's not going to happen. But I'm predicting it because if it does happen, like I'll be even more excited.
We're more likely to get a remastered of 2.
Which would just piss me off at this point. I love this game, but I don't want to play it. I mean, I do want to play it again. But I want to play Half-Life 3. I mean, for the longest time, I was like, I want Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Because Episodes 1 and 2 were astounding follow-ups to that game. And Half-Life 2 Episode 2 ends with a shitty cliffhanger. And this was like, what? It feels like a decade ago.
It wasn't a decade ago.
It might have been close to a decade ago now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Gordon Freeman and company are, like, their lives are in the balance. And Valve does not care. And that's just irresponsible.
We got Duke Nukem and we got The Last Guardian.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah. No.
Two games that were in development hell for a decade.
Right.
But
Valve
maybe,
has the resources.
Which have both failed.
Valve has
the
resources.
The Last Guardian hasn't failed.
It's just not good.
It's underwhelming.
It's just not good.
It's an underwhelming game. That's for sure. And it's short.
I don't understand because Valve has the resources. This is a very popular franchise. Yeah. Like, even if they were to just put out Episode 3 to Half-Life 2, I mean, it's too little too late at this point. But, like, it.
So you want Half-Life 3 in 2017?
Dude,
I want
it
announced.
Announced. That's a good difference.
Announced officially.
Okay. All right.
I mean, at least give me some hope, Valve.
I like it.
Well, aren't they in cahoots with Steam? Like, I feel like.
Well, sure.
Between Valve and Steam.
Yeah. Come on, you got some big names, some big titles, some money behind it. We can make that happen.
Now you be careful because
the Half-Life games have been
a Steam exclusive
or
something.
Yeah,
but
in my opinion, the Half-Life games have been like the best first-person shooters ever.
Oh, I loved it. He makes fun of me about this. I crank up Half-Life 2 all the way on Steam on my Switch.
I don't make fun of you
built
for,
computer.
I don't make fun of you for doing that. That's great. I was poking fun that you were worried that the machine you were building wasn't going to be enough to handle it. And that's what I was making fun of.
That's
you
fair
want
enough.
To play
you
your
don't
game.
Understand our love for Half-Life.
No, I totally do. And I love that you want to do that.
Is it good enough?
It's not going to push your machine. That's all I was trying to say.
Is it good enough for Gordon Freeman?
Right.
John, what is your third prediction?
So my third prediction is this is a realistic one. I predict that we will probably see by the end of the year a AAA title for mobile gaming, something like Mass Effect or Metal Gear Solid.
For phones and tablets?
For phones and tablets.
You know who might be the one...
To compete with the Switch.
But... I like that. You know who might be the one to do it? Ken Levine, he did the Bioshock games, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
What was his company that went under? He has a new company that he's focusing on... mobile games, and smaller games, like, he's got a lot of concepts that he's working on, and he's wanting to step away from the AAA games, but also, like, create some big-budget quality storytelling. So,
let me ask you this. Does Nintendo count if they're publishing a game as a AAA game?
I'm not counting them.
Okay.
No. Specifically, the reason I do that is because I know where you're going with that, like a new Mario game or whatnot.
Well, no, because they are actually they've announced that they're in works to put out Animal Crossing and possibly Spyro.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if those counted as AAA titles or not.
No, they are AAA titles in a sense.
Well, technically, but
Nintendo putting it out does not count for me.
Okay.
I'm talking about a developer or like even Konami or somebody coming out of the woodworks and doing something different and making like I use Metal Gear and Mass Effect specifically for a reason. Because I feel like, I'm not saying they're easily adaptable, but I feel like they have been successful in other ways.
Okay.
Irrational was his company.
Oh,
and
okay.
Now, he just, and this is news, it was just as of end of February, he launched Ghost Story Games. That's the name of his new company.
Interesting.
So maybe Ghost Story Games is going to be the next one to do that high quality, maybe AAA quality game for mobile platforms.
It's cool. They're moving fast. Our phones are getting to the capability where they can handle, they probably can handle, like my Samsung here has pretty nice hardware.
There's some cool MOBAs that you can play now that are really
processor.
Nice.
I mean, it's got a lot of power.
Mario Run is great.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on the Android release of that one. Come on, Nintendo.
We are still waiting,
I'm not waiting because I have an Apple.
So I'm thinking Metal Gear would be the first one, and we'll probably see that early 2018.
Okay. Well, so if we're talking about game releases, I'll give you my big prediction for game releases. I think that in 2017, it will be announced that Halo 6 is coming spring 2018.
I still gotta beat Halo 5. Shit.
I think that's what's gonna happen. We're gonna hear about because there's been some talk about how they're gonna bring back local co-op for the next Halo games because that was a mistake in Halo 5, and I agree that was a mistake in Halo 5.
You took away the essence of the game. I'm just saying.
I mean, I love. Halo is the spiritual predecessor of GoldenEye.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to first-person shooter local gameplay stuff. And Guardians,
that's the way to go.
Halo 5 Guardian took that away. So I'm expecting Halo 6 to be a Project Scorpio title announced this year for spring 2018.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's my big
I like that
thing. Well, no spoilers since Zach hasn't played the game.
Right.
Finished 5 yet.
I will start. I have your copy of 5.
You do.
I have your copy of 5. I've installed it on my Xbox One. And
that's half the work.
Right, that's half the work. Right.
Now you just got to play it.
The campaign's only going to take me half the time it took me to install it. I guess, am I next?
Yeah, number 3.
Next.
My third one, I guess, staying in the vein of video game announcements or coming out, launches. I'm predicting that Mass Effect Andromeda is gonna flop.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna hurt you right now.
No. Here's
throwdown on Gamer Heroes.
Here's my motivation. Mass Effect, and this is really selfish motivation. Mass Effect is one of my all-time favorite franchises. I love Mass Effect 1 through 3. Like, I played 1. I had the same character in 1 that I carried on to 2 and 3 with me.
Well, you
my
the Shepherd.
Yeah, the bonuses.
You got all your
shit
to start off with.
Your shit, your characters who followed you through.
Yeah.
If you start...
Who doesn't want Garrus in the beginning of the freaking game?
Right. Or Rex. If you start Mass Effect 2, then Rex is dead. Spoiler for a decade-year-old game.
Hey, I saved a lot of them in the end of 2.
I saved
somehow.
All of them. I saved all
Did
of
you
them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Oh, yeah. It's not impossible.
It's very hard
to
do.
I made
That's
it happen.
Very hard
I was like, I will not let
How
go
How many times did you replay that?
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't somebody have to die? Maybe I did lose one person.
Someone has to sacrifice themselves.
Right,
they have
to
stay back
to
and fight the high.
We're getting
off subject.
That'll be another episode.
The point is, my motivation for Mass Effect Andromeda to flop is... I don't have enough time, and I don't want to feel bad about not having the time playing the Mass Effect game, so I want it to be bad so that I don't feel I'm missing out. I know.
You suck.
That's so narcissistic.
It is. It's a terrible, terrible,
He's like,
selfish
EA,
motivation.
I just want you to make a shitty game because
right.
of me.
I don't have time to play your game, so just make a shitty one so I can be like, oh, at least I, didn't have
All
time
right.
for it. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
John, what's your next one?
This is an obvious one, and I'm just want to put a date to it. I think Overwatch will be the most successful first-person shooter in history of all first-person shooters by 2019.
By 2019?
By 2019. That's right. Soon.
So when we have like episode 400, we can come back and see if that's true.
Yeah, but if you think about it, in history of all first-person shooters, 2019 is probably a year and a half now. It's pretty not half.
It's 2 years. It's almost 2 years. Almost.
It's 1 3/4. That's very fast. So
no, I'm not. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad prediction. It's just there's no way for us to really know.
Right. This is like I'm counting that it will be faster than that.
This is like when a politician runs for presidential office and promises that all these great changes are going to happen in 9 years. So it's like, right. Cool, like,
just
outside, like, if it doesn't happen, like, it wasn't my fault, like, I did everything I was supposed to in 8 years.
I predict that Zenith is going to put out the best console ever made in 2025.
Oh my God. is this a real prediction?
I want to talk about this, though. I think Overwatch, I personally think Overwatch in 2016 was the best game in 2016.
It won a lot of Game of the Year awards. So.
It won my Game of the Year award, like, and that's very important.
The one that we didn't do on the show.
But yeah. No, I think that was that's a telltale sign that what they've done and what they're creating, what they're doing, and the hype is just unreal. So I feel like it will beat out Call of Duty. One franchise, one game, that all they're doing is adding onto it and not making a new one every fucking year.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best one in history.
Okay. Well, my next prediction plays off of that one a little bit. And that's going to be that in 2017, Blizzard will announce a campaign story mode for Overwatch.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
See, that would actually get me interested.
They're just going that direction. There's a lot of things that lead me to believe that, too.
There's so much story meta in the game right now, especially with the release of Orisa and the talk of Doomfist and all, you know, Terry Crews being as into the idea as he is, the individual
the
episodes. Yes.
Holy crap. Yeah.
And I think that it is just a matter of time before they tell that story, and I will be there. I will drop every game I'm playing to play the Overwatch story mode, because those characters are just deep and brilliant, and Blizzard is just handling it so well overall.
Killing it.
Yeah.
So that's my big prediction. 2017, we get the announcement of that coming. It'll be playable at BlizzCon in 2017.
Oh.
Maybe not the whole thing. Right,
but
there'll be a demo.
Mission.
There'll be something available for those who've never been to BlizzCon before. They do this a lot. Well, they'll announce a new expansion to, you know, WoW or whatever, and part of it will be playable at BlizzCon. So in BlizzCon 2017, I think that's when it's going to be announced. Number one, it'll be announced at BlizzCon, and part of it will be playable as a demo at BlizzCon.
I like that, and I hope you're right, because I mean I'm a huge Blizzard fan. I loved Warcraft, World of Warcraft, Diablo. What disappointed me about Overwatch, and I still haven't played it. It's one of those games that I haven't been really in that I haven't tried out.
John's gonna hit
time
you.
With.
I know. Get the pen ready again.
This is the subtitle of this.
He
week's
said disappoints
podcast
me.
Is
how many times can Zach say something that pisses me off?
Right, like, when will at what minute marker will John punch Zach? It's gonna happen. Stay tuned. No, what disappoints me about it is Blizzard as a company. One of their greatest strengths is storytelling. Mm-hmm. And had a game that's just, I mean, yeah, it sounds like they've got some really great characters and they're developing story outside of the game. But, like, for a game that tells such good stories, I don't want to play just a run-around, shoot-em-up that's co-op online.
It's not.
I know it's more than that. I know it's hard to.
But I agree with Zach.
But, like,
I
want to see, like, Blizzard tells some of the best stories ever. Like, for a video game, like, I've just, there have been.
That's why I'm playing through Diablo 3 for the third time.
Like, there are so many moments.
Right.
In, like,
and not, like, powering through. Like,
literally
story.
Going to every dungeon.
There are some powerful, poignant moments in Warcraft 3, Diablo 3, World of Warcraft. There's just some amazing storytelling that I would like to see them get back to.
I'm completely with you.
So I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
It's really the only reason I don't have it. I have it on PC. And I would have bought it on PS4 by now if there had been a story mode for me to just kind of chill on the couch and play through.
Right.
I'd play the game a lot more, and I would have bought it a second time if there was a story mode. So that tells you how much I love what they already have.
Right.
So, Zach, what is your next prediction?
My next prediction is that...
Oh, that wasn't it? I'm just kidding.
No, my next prediction is that 2017 is going to come and go, and Pokemon Go will still not have battle or trading.
So Pokemon Go will go.
Yeah, Pokemon Go will continue to be irrelevant.
We'll have some new generations, but no trading and no... What was it?
No trading and no battle.
They just announced that they were going to do trading if you were nearby another person.
But we knew that they announced that trading was going to be coming last year.
Right.
That's true.
The original rumors were that trading were going to be available at launch, and it was like, well, no, shortly after launch.
Then it was going to be Gen 2.
We'll get the buddy trading closer, I think.
No trading, no battle.
He's saying none. Like, that's the part.
Yeah, I'm saying Pokemon Go is going to continue to be a disappointment.
Okay. I think that's a fair thing to say, because I think at this point, while Gen 2 has been exciting, it came out a couple months after we thought it was going to, and there still wasn't these new features like trading or local battles.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the Switch will get a Pokemon game at some point?
Oh, they already announced it.
They did.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
Pokemon Star. It's in the same generation as Sun and Moon.
That's the working title for it?
Yeah, working title.
So, which would be cool, like Sun, Moon, Stars. What I'm hoping...
That's cool.
It is cool. What I'm really hoping is that... And if they don't do this, I'll be disappointed. Like, they need to make it so the Poke Bank is transferable from your 3DS.
Dude, that'd be crazy.
That was going to be one of my predictions, but I didn't use it.
Bringing your old Pokemon up to, you know...
Right, to bring your old Pokemon up.
Without a complicated way of doing that. You know how they had that weird... You had to have that emulator that's transferring.
No, but the Poke Bank's pretty easy
now. The Poke Bank,
yeah,
they could make that happen.
But having that on the Switch would be cool.
Right. It would be awesome, because Pokemon Sun and Moon are beautiful games... But, I mean, graphically, those games look so much better on the Switch.
Yeah,
they could. And, I mean, even if it's the same game, but with... I mean, I would love it if there was some slight differences. But even if it's the same game, just with new Pokemon to catch, like, I'm there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so how many are we at so far? Was that 4?
I've used a lot, and I've used a lot on you guys. You guys have said a lot. So I'm ready for Wild Theories. And I know Zach already threw one of them out.
Yeah, that was 4.
That was 4?
4 for me.
Okay, so we got 3 more to go, I guess.
Yeah. I'm ready for
So,
Wild
John,
Theories.
Go ahead and do your next one.
I'm down to Wild Theories.
Yeah, I got 3 left
point.
Here, okay.
Yeah, same.
So I think it's Wild Theory, but it's not. Like, I feel like it's just outside my grasp. I
like
want
Half-Life 3?
The last of... No, that's way outside your grasp.
You shut your dirty mouth.
Dream.
That was harsh.
Yeah. Like, this ain't Make-A-Wish, so... I think that The Last of Us 2 will surprise sweep us all and be released in January 2018. Yes. Yeah, I said that.
See, I was going to one-up you then.
Oh, you're saying like this
My prediction
holiday
that
season?
Is coming out in 2017.
Whoa.
I think it's going to shock the world that they have been working on this for a lot longer
than
it appeared.
Exactly.
The Last of Us, I played the remastered edition on the PS4. Might be the best story-driven game I've
ever played. Oh, yeah.
I'm having a hard time coming up with something that contends with it. I haven't played the Left
there's
Behind
franchises,
DLC yet.
Franchises, like Uncharted is very close, but...
But there's 4 games.
Same company,
know?
Though. Same company. It is,
yeah.
But I'm just saying, though, yeah, like, there are things that come close, but not quite in a single game.
That's the thing. This is one game, the introduction game, and I think that... It was so well received so early on, and when they remastered it for the PS4, I think from the moment that was finished, they started working on the sequel.
I think
and
so, too.
I think it's going to be out in 2017.
Developer already accidentally spilled the beans on it months ago.
I think I missed that. Then. What did they say?
He was in an interview, and they were talking about the new Uncharted 4, before Uncharted 4 came out, and he said, and we were working on the expression in Last of Us. I think he said exactly Last of Us 2. And then he was like, hold on, I meant in Uncharted. He straight up did
that. That's funny.
No, he straight up did that.
Yeah.
Like, you can Google it.
So
you're saying
2017.
I'm calling the date.
I think it's going to be a Scorpio launch title.
Holy shit.
That's my big...
That would really piss me off because...
Oops.
Here goes my Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons
again.
Down.
You scratched them twice already.
I have not scratched them. They are beautiful. Look, there's not a mark on them. I'm just going to lay them down now.
That would piss me off because I'm not saying like PlayStation is the only one, but I'm just saying like I want that to remain PlayStation.
I was making a joke
okay,
about
thank
Project
you.
Scorpio.
Don't say that shit to me.
It was a joke. No, it'll be a PS4 exclusive.
So he's calling 2017.
But I do think that they're going to try and get it out. Kind of like how, so when PS3 came out, that's when Halo came out. They battled each other. I think this is going to be a similar thing the other way around. You're going to get Project Scorpio, and Sony's going to put out Last of Us 2.
Oh, that's...
So
I say January 2018, but he's saying
that's my big.
So you're saying December?
Not December. I'm saying in 2017 holiday season. So if it's November, right. You know, whatever.
Man, but, so we're 3 months apart.
So we're a couple months apart. I think it's going to be out this year for this holiday season.
Huh. If that happens, like, I'm dropping everything.
Here's the thing. I don't think it would ever be a January title. Because that's after everyone's already spent all of their money for the holidays.
January's a risky time for a new game.
Horizon Zero Dawn was the first major release of the year.
February.
It was an end of February release that had been delayed from the year before.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening. I think it's going to make it.
January's a risky time for new movies, mm-hmm. new video games, new everything. People are recovering.
January is a dead month.
Yeah. I'm just saying it could happen.
It could happen. It could.
I'm just saying if someone said that to me right now, oh, it's coming out January, I don't care, I drop everything. Like, I'm literally like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would get it, but I'm just saying. I think
any person would drop anything for
that
game.
It's a bad time, though, because a lot of people who have to work on their gaming budget, because, like, we spend a lot of money on video games compared to, I think, most people. And I think people are going to have to decide, am I getting my kid a game for Christmas, or am I waiting until,
No, I'm getting myself a game. My kid's going to get it.
Exactly. That little shit can sit in the corner with it.
Yours are still a little on the young side. Right. So,
That was a wild theory.
And that was my follow-up. And that was yours. So that was number five for me.
So number five for me, and now for something completely different. I'm predicting, and this isn't such a wild prediction, but I'm predicting that the Power Rangers movie will be released with a terrible video game adaptation across all consoles.
Ooh.
Yeah, that seems
That's totally reasonable.
Right.
That's not like a wild one. So
no, it's not. Yeah. I mean, I blew a wild one earlier, so this is just the order that I have them in.
That's fine. I think that's very reasonable.
It's a reasonable expectation.
They're already working on that fighting mobile one, which looks kind of cool.
But that's not specific to the movie, though.
Right.
It's all generations.
Right. So. Which is what will save it.
What is it called? Power Rangers Legacy, I think is what it's called.
That's what will save that game. It's like, oh, dude, I get to be Tommy.
Right, yeah. You get to fight as the original Rangers. And so we'll play because we grew up on the original Power Rangers, so... I think that's a very reasonable, likely prediction that I had never thought of.
Good point.
Yeah.
Do you think the movie will flop? Just randomly?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, no, I don't think it'll flop.
I think it's going to be great.
I'm not saying it's going to be good.
No.
I'm saying financially it's not great.
Right.
I don't think it's going to flop because the Power Rangers franchise has so much behind it.
It's true.
Everybody's going to go see it. It might be terrible.
It's going to be of the same caliber as the Michael Bay Transformers films.
No!
That seems possible.
Don't say that.
I think that's a reasonable... prediction.
It'll be Pacific Rim on the ground.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping.
It won't be as good as Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is brilliant.
I know. It's a
great
movie.
I love Pacific Rim. All right. What's your next one, John? We're over time. So
my wild
theory.
I know I keep putting out to 2019, but I thought really hard about these.
You're killing me.
I thought really hard about these dates. At the minimum, we will at least have news about it. I think the Nintendo Switch will be working on VR capability by 2019, and I think it will be actually better than the PSVR and more affordable, including more camera accessories and a better kit.
Okay, so you think that? So are you thinking that in this year they'll announce that there's going to be VR support?
By the end of this year, we will hear something about VR on the Switch.
Okay.
I think they can really use the HD rumbles and the infrared cameras that they have currently to their favor. They already have the handheld portion taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like all that's needed is more infrared sensors and, of course, a visor unit. I think it's very likely. It's very close. I think developers have already thought about it. So 2019, it'll be available and cheaper and better than the PSVR.
So yours and ours are very similar,
but on different
ends of the spectrum.
We didn't talk, I promise. He just...
My prediction is that by the end of the year, VR will still be... nothing.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
It'll still not have taken off. PSVR will be a thing that people who do own will say works well, and that'll be about it. There'll still be very few decent titles to play for it. It still will not. We still won't have a consumer-ready version of HoloLens.
Right.
This will just be a thing that exists that people who have a lot of money to spend on video games, much more than me even, will just kind of have because they can, and that will be the state of VR at the end of the year. There's nothing significant growth wise.
I'm not mad at it. I feel like it's just not there yet. We talked about this last episode. Check it out.
That's my big prediction though. Is that 2017 we'll see VR just stay exactly where it is today.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
that's which will have it.
My prediction is that in 2017, Donald Trump will discover Animal Crossing and realize that his unique leadership skill set is better suited to imaginary being an imaginary mayor than actually running a country. And all of Twitter and the rest of the world.
Why you gotta go political on this?
Okay, so will he step out of office to go play Animal Crossing?
No. He'll maintain his title. Wait. He'll just, like, I mean, right now he's tweeting all the time, like, just
so
the
will it make him
ever.
A better president? He's like, oh, I've tried this in Animal Crossing, it didn't work.
It'll make
the wall thing didn't work. The pigs still got through.
Yes, oh, man. The pigs are still here. I promised to make what's the name of the village or the town, whatever.
I have no idea.
I don't remember. He'll promise to make it great again, but the pigs are still going to get it.
That's terrible. So, I just can't even deal with that.
So, I mean, will it make him better or worse of a leader? It'll make him less involved.
I had to ask.
So that's better by just, you know.
Not as much, because that means, not to get too political, but it just means that Pence and Bannon are going to be calling more shots, and they already are. So
for those who didn't know our political lean, you might have just figured that one out. All right, so this is it. We're on to our final predictions. Yes. And mine's a big one. Mine's an exciting big one. So
I hope it doesn't
move
too close.
All right, well, then I'm going to start this
round. Go ahead.
I'm just going to start this round. Sony is going to announce in 2017 for release next year a brand new non-Vita line handheld console to rival the Switch.
We knew it.
That seems reasonable.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah. The Vita has been... It's not a bad handheld console by any means, technically speaking.
Not at all.
But it never picked up. Right. The 3DS has just crushed it across the board for a long time now. The whole PSP, PS Vita line. And so I think Sony, with the success of the PS4 and the PS4 Pro, will need to finally kind of just... put the stake in it. It's done, and move on to something new. And we will have a brand new handheld hybrid type console that may even pair with PSVR that they'll announce this year to combat the Switch in 2018.
That's very likely. So. And very, very brings a lot of questions to me. Like, what are you going to do that's different that the Switch hasn't done?
I'm not saying it'll be all that, because I don't think it has to be, because I don't think that at the end of the day, what the PS4 does and the Xbox
Just
One does is all that different from a gaming perspective. You know, the hardware is not all that different. I think this is just going to be the difference of a marketing thing. Sony has to care about the Vita, you know, and they haven't really shown that.
Right.
It's there. You can buy it if you want to. Right. And people just haven't really done that. They need new, fresh titles. They need new, fresh designs. They need a new, fresh outlook on a handheld console. And Nintendo can't be... And this is from a competition kind of breeds excellence when it comes to design.
Definitely.
Nintendo can't be allowed to just reign free all the time, because that's when they will then start to slip up.
Yes.
They need to be kept in check. And the reason the PS4 is so good is because Microsoft was just crushing in the 360 era.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to combat that, and they did that with the PS4.
Absolutely.
Nintendo needs to be kept in check too. So Sony needs to get their act together and put out this
handheld. It's funny that Sony's the police for that. Like, I feel like they're like the ones that can do it, and
they're the ones who can do it.
They have the most they own studios, they own every developers, they own like everything. They have the most capital to do it. I think
Microsoft is a larger corporation, but Microsoft is focusing the Xbox as an entertainment console.
But
so,
if you look at what Sony has as far as entertainment goes, they have
more
entertainment things.
They do have more entertainment.
And they even
so,
movies. Like, I mean, like, they have all of
that's
it.
That's true. But, so you're saying Sony is not the hero we deserve, but the one that we need right now?
It might be a little of both. Because
they'll
I think
either watch themselves become the villain or...
Look, I was not a PlayStation fan prior to the PS4. I was always a Nintendo and then Xbox after that. And the PS4 really sold me, and I love my PS4.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where Sony has realized that, A, Nintendo is their friend, not their enemy.
Right.
That they have said multiple times that, you know, Nintendo brings people into gaming, and we take the lead from there when they get older. And I think that's the right way
that's
to look
fair.
At it, because I play Nintendo and Sony stuff differently for different reasons.
Yes.
So Sony doesn't see Nintendo as a threat. They see Nintendo as an opportunity to bring in more gamers. And the PlayStation is a gaming console. It is a gaming console. Yeah, it has a Netflix app, but it is a gaming console.
Yeah.
Whereas the Xbox One is an entertainment console that has, like, games, you know.
Right.
And, I don't want to oversimplify it too much, but, you know, I think that's just, it's Sony is positioned better to combat that type of stuff. And they've had the Vita for a long time. I think they should have by now learned from those experiences. And a fresh start with a brand new name and a brand new marketing strategy to disconnect and distance from the Vita is the right move for them this year.
Yeah.
So. I feel like power, Sony's always been known for their power. I feel like they will make a very powerful tablet.
I hope
so. Portable device.
Yes. I've never owned one.
Because so. I owned the PSP.
Yeah.
When that, I had a Game Boy at that point. Yeah. I had a Game Boy and I was like, oh man, the graphics, everyone says the graphics on the PSP are way better. They actually were. They were a million times better. But it just didn't take off because there wasn't a lot of games. And then if you want to watch movies...
Well, back then they had the discs.
Exactly. The disc UDs, cartridges.
UDs or whatever they were called.
There were discs in a cartridge.
Yeah,
it didn't make any sense. But
and I played movies, and I think that was a little ahead of its time.
That was cool, but you would have to buy them.
Yeah.
And it was $20. It's like buying a DVD.
Yeah.
And it's and like, no why buy am I buying a DVD?
To watch it on a tiny screen.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would need to be cheaper.
That wasn't a thing.
And now we have streaming. And I think that the Vita is just behind the curve.
Right.
Yes.
I think more people use the Vita now just to play PS4 games on the go, you know, with that that technology. So.
Yeah.
So that's my big one.
That's
Zach,
a good one, man.
Let's finish up our final ones here.
Okay. My big one, and it's probably the least likely of any of mine. To happen is that in 2017 I will start and complete 3 video games.
Just three. I've done more than that already this year.
Right.
Well, and proud of you.
Originally my number was 2, but I started last year, but I did start and finish Pokemon Moon. So I figure if I'm including that in there, I have to add 2 more. So yeah, it's my prediction that I will have time to start and beat 2 more
games.
Here's
the question. Will any of us beat Zelda this year? All of it.
I mean,
all of it.
I mean, there's a story. I'm sure I'll beat the
story.
The
story.
I'm talking about
things.
The game, like completion.
I don't do that, though. For the open
world
games.
You never do percentage completion?
If it's a small enough game, I will. Zelda is so huge that I will play through the story, and I will explore as I'm playing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not... I will have to really love that game to go back after I beat the story to explore
more. I need proper motivation to explore.
Because there's so much to play.
Yeah.
Because by then you're going to have Mario Kart and Splatoon, and you're going to have Super Mario Odyssey.
We have a lot of
games. There's
coming
DLC
out.
Coming out for Zelda.
Yep.
They tried to sell that.
There's
going to
be a score
pass,
of indie games, and that's on one console.
You guys must think I'm a freak or something, because I beat Dragon Age Inquisition at, and this is very hard to do, and it took me a while, but 94%. And there's a lot of side quests.
I mean, that's
great.
Look,
there
is nothing
game I beat
wrong.
100% was, well, actually, I beat like Tomb Raider Legend or whatever it was at 100%. But before that, it was Crash Bandicoot 2.
Yeah.
Look,
damn, that's
there
hard.
There is nothing wrong with beating games 100%. I just don't have the time with all the games I play. Because keep in mind,
right.
I have all the current gen consoles.
Right.
I also a PC game. I also have a Wii U with a couple titles I'm still finishing up.
Nothing's going to stop coming out either.
I have a 3DS also. So I literally have, other than the Vita, I have every available console that's on sale.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's
like,
insane.
It's just a lot for me. So I can't spend too much time on a single title.
So he has to basically... One hour here.
I split up. So yesterday I played for like 2.5 or 3 hours, and I split it between Zelda and Fast RMX.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been back to Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm in a few weeks because I just haven't had the time.
Well, you did on Thursday when we got in. If you guys check that out on our webpage here on Facebook, we played the new character on the test realm.
I didn't. That was Ryan.
Well, Ryan played the new character, and you'll see him later on.
Yeah, Ryan's on Screen Heroes, our other podcast, so you should check that out.
My last one.
Your last one.
That was
this is
it.
This is my final one. So that's all.
Okay. So this is a fun one, and I'm. It's probably more likely than most things to come out here. I think this year at BlizzCon specifically, they will announce Diablo 3.5, which will release and focus on. Excuse me, which will release in 2018, but focus on characters from the franchise from the beginning to now. Side quests, side stories, new missions, new areas.
Interesting.
But
not a brand new game.
Bridging all the games together.
Okay. Interesting. Cool.
So I call it Diablo 3.5.
I like it. That's something that they would do.
That would.
Oh yeah. Very likely.
That would force me back into.
I just want the Necromancer to come out.
The thing is why it's a wild theory in my head is because it'll be released in 2018 and announced at BlizzCon, which means
they
should have been
working
on it.
They might have it playable
exactly.
At BlizzCon, so that'd be good. That'd be two big things for them to do at BlizzCon. And
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, man. I would love...
All right.
I'm a big fan of the franchise, and all I want to do is play the old ones in better graphics.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
All right, well, we are well over time. So we want to know what you guys think of our 2017 predictions. Let us know what some of yours are, if you have any of them. Check us out at heroespodcast.com. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, as we have a contest, and we will give out a free game when we reach 10 reviews. So check us out there. We'll have new episodes every Friday. So go subscribe, review. We'll catch all of you guys next time. Bye, everybody. See you.